Conventional fabrication of orthognathic surgical wafers is a rather complex process requiring several steps that may be prone to error. Recently, new developments in three-dimensional technology have resulted in the ability for us to produce 3D printed wafers. The effectiveness of this new technology was looked at in this paper that was published in the Journal of Orthodontics. It was called The Accuracy of Maxillary Positioning Using Digital Model Planning and 3D Printed Wafers in Bimaxillary Orthognathic Surgery, and the lead author was Dr. Cousley. This was a retrospective study, and the investigators want to evaluate the outcome of L4-1 osteotomy movements in bimaxillary surgery, where the pre-surgical planning process has involved a standardized NUN-CBCT process combining digital model movements and a 3D printed wafer fabrication. The study was done in the United Kingdom and was based on the records held at one major district hospital centre with a high orthognathic caseload. The investigators searched for all bimaxillary osteotomy cases that were operated on from January 2015 to 2016. They retrieved the planned surgical movements for each case from the hospital clinical record. They then compared these with the actual movements that were achieved post-surgery. What they found was interesting. They managed to identify 30 consecutive cases that met their inclusion criteria. When they analysed these cases, they showed that 13 of them, that is 43%, had at least a 2mm discrepancy between the planned and the actual movements in at least one of the cephalometric measures that they had evaluated. They felt that this was in the realms of normal practice using conventional wafers. However, they pointed out that the method and use and fabrication of the 3D printed wafers was considerably simpler than conventional wafers, and therefore this technique had considerable advantages. I looked at this paper closely because it has provided us with some useful clinical information. I do need to point out that this was a retrospective study and therefore could be subject to selection bias. However, the authors did go to some length to illustrate that the cases that they have used had been consecutively treated and obtained from one department. As a result, I think there is useful information from this paper, and while we could say that a prospective cohort is needed to provide us with more precise information, it certainly appears that this technique may have considerable advantages over our conventional techniques.